Welcome to your personalized deep dive. A mountain of sources about A-levels, especially in the sciences. It seems like you're really focused on avoiding those common pitfalls and just acing those exams.
Absolutely. It's fantastic that you're thinking about this now. Your sources are great. We have teachers and subject matter experts, even some exam boards.
Wow, yeah. Okay, so let's get into it. I'm seeing time management tips, decoding tricky questions, handling those moments where you totally blank, even some advice specifically for AQA biology.
It's really interesting, isn't it, how much of this advice overlaps? Doesn't matter if it's chemistry, biology, physics, strong exam technique is like universal.
One thing that definitely stands out is how much everyone talks about time management, and not just in general, but like specific strategies for each type of exam paper.
It's like before you even start, you need a game plan, right?
Yeah.
Knowing whether to go for the multiple choice first or jump into the essay or, you know, strategically save some sections for last, it can really make a difference in your stress level, A and D, how well you do.
Totally. And one expert actually gave a very specific breakdown for AQA biology. They said to start at the back for paper one, shorter answer questions and practical skills there. Then save the comprehension for last on paper two and tackle those essay titles first on paper three. Why start at the back for paper one?
Well, think about it. Those later questions on that paper are usually worth more marks. So you want to make sure you have time for them, even if it means not finishing every single easier one.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I usually just go in order, but now I'm thinking about my exams and how I could use that.
Exactly. Adapt those general ideas to what you're facing. Another thing that comes up over and over again is careful reading. It sounds obvious, but when you're under pressure, it's so easy to miss key details.
Ugh, tell me about it. Mixing up describe with explain or missing some tiny instruction hidden in a huge paragraph. One source actually suggested highlighting command words. Make them pop out.
I love that. It's a great visual cue. It forces you to slow down, really understand the question, and avoid those silly mistakes that can, like, cost you marks. And it's not just about the questions either. Don't rush through those introductory paragraphs or data tables.
You mean the stuff that kind of sets the scene for the question?
Exactly. Highlighting key facts there can help you remember them. A and D make it easier to find them again later when you're writing your answer. Turns them from distractions into, like, useful resources. Remember that story about the student who knew everything but misread a question and lost points? We don't want that to happen.
No way. Okay, so we've got time management and reading comprehension down, but what about when you hit a question and your mind just goes completely blank, like the information is just gone?
Happens to everyone, and it's terrifying, right?
Mm.
But everyone agrees, never leave a question blank. Even if you're clueless, try to at least figure out the general topic, jot down some keywords.
Right, get those partial credit points. Even showing you kind of get the concept can help your grade. One source, the Primrose Kitten videos, really stress being super precise, especially in chemistry.
Oh, I love her video. She makes such good points. Like, instead of saying a solution is clear, which could mean a lot of things, use colorless. Much more precise.
So it's all about the most accurate, specific language you can use. Makes sense, especially in something like organic chemistry, where one tiny bond can change the whole molecule.
You got it. And it shows why really understanding those core concepts is so important. Not just memorizing, but getting it deep down. Speaking of which, a few sources talked about how A-levels like to throw in scenarios you've never seen before, just to see if you can actually UEC what you've learned.
Not just what you know, but how you use it. Yeah, that's A-levels for you.
Exactly. They want to know you really get it, not just repeating memorized stuff. And one source actually suggested, to get that deeper understanding, try connecting things to real-world examples.
Oh, I like that. Makes learning more interesting, too. Any examples of how to do that?
Absolutely. Like when you're studying photosynthesis in biology, don't just memorize the steps. Think about how it relates to the food chain and how you get energy from plants. Or in physics, circuits. How do they work in, like, your phone or computer? Making those connections makes it stick.
That's a great idea. I'm seeing how I can do that already.
It's all about those aha moments where it all clicks and suddenly makes sense.
This is great. I'm feeling more confident and actually excited about tackling these exams. But, you know, what about when panic sets in? We've all been there, right? Heart racing, palms sweaty, mind blank.
Oh, absolutely. Exam anxiety is normal. In fact, one expert actually shared their own story about panicking during a university exam.
Wow, really? That's comforting, actually, to know it happens to everyone. What did they say helped?
Well, they recommended a few things that are good for any stressful situation. Box breathing, which is, you know, a specific way of breathing in, holding, breathing out. And positive self-talk, replacing those negative thoughts with, like, reminders of how awesome you are?
I've tried box breathing before. It really helps. Have you ever used these techniques?
Oh, yeah. Box breathing is my go-to before presentations.
Mm.
Helps me calm down and focus. And positive self-talk is powerful, you know, reminding yourself of all the hard work you've put in and flipping that fear into confidence.
That's so true. It's not just about knowing this stuff, but believing you can actually do it. So we've got time management, reading, handling the freakouts. What else do we have to, like, ace these exams?
Well, one thing that came up a lot was practice. And not just reading your notes, but really doing stuff, like working through past papers, timing yourself, getting used to the pressure.
Right. A bunch of sources mentioned that. But what about those big 6-mark questions? The ones where you have to write a lot. How do you practice for those?
Now that is where it gets interesting. One source said to think of them like mini essays. Even use bullet points to structure your answer as long as it flows well.
Oh, that's smart. So instead of this huge writing task, you break it down into smaller chunks. Makes sense. But it's not just about how M-U-C-H you write.
Nope. Another source, the Physics Online video, had a really great point about those explain questions. They said it's all about the quality of your explanation, being precise, avoiding vague words.
So not just what happened, but the why and how, using the right scientific terms. I can see how that would make a difference.
For sure. And they even suggested using linking words like because or due to or this means that to connect your ideas and make a stronger argument.
Love that. It's like building a bridge between the facts and what you understand. This is amazing. This deep dive is already making me feel so much more prepared. But we've covered a lot, and I'm sure there's even more to unpack.
Definitely. Let's take a breather and come back to the rest of these exam acing tips soon.
All right. We're back for more exam success tips. We've already talked about so much, but there's still tons to go through. What's next?
Well, we were just talking about those long answer questions, and one source had this cool tip about those 6-mark ones. They said to think of them like almost like mini essays. You can even use bullet points to structure your answer as long as it, you know, makes sense and flows well.
Right. Breaking it down instead of just this big scary writing task makes sense. But it's not just about filling the page, is it?
Definitely not. It's about quality over quantity. Make right. Another source, that Physics Online video, made a good point about explain questions. It's all about how well you explain things, being precise, no vague words.
So like not just what happens, but why and how it works, using the right terms too. Can you give an example of what you mean by vague?
Sure. Let's say you're talking about a physics experiment and use the word amount. Well, amount could mean mass, it could mean volume, even the number of particles. Better to be specific, use the word that actually fits.
Right, no room for misunderstanding, especially in something like chemistry where every little detail matters.
Exactly. Remember that Primrose Kitten video? She had a whole section on avoiding those common chemistry errors, especially in organic chem, forgetting bonds, messing up reaction mechanisms.
It's the little things that get you, shows you how important it is to not just understand, but to really master the language, how to write it all correctly.
And speaking of that, Primrose Kitten also talked about rounding numbers in those multi-step problems.
Oh, yeah. Rounding too early can mess up your final answer. Tiny detail, big impact.
She suggested storing those in-between values in your calculator's memory. Simple, but avoids a lot of potential errors.
So many things to remember. Really makes you realize how important it is to pay attention to detail, especially in subjects where one small mistake can throw everything off.
And while we're on the topic of detail, a bunch of sources said, and this might seem obvious, but double check your work.
I know, it sounds basic, but when you're under pressure, it's easy to miss things. What should we be looking for specifically?
Typos, of course.
Mm.
Missing units and calculations, sentences that trail off. And this is key, making sure you've answered every single part of the question.
Ugh, yes. It's so easy to miss a part, especially those questions with multiple parts, like you get tunnel vision.
Exactly. Taking a few minutes to review everything, make sure it's complete and accurate, can be the difference between, you know, a good grade and an amazing grade.
It's like the final polish, making it perfect before you hand it in. Okay, so time management, reading, handling the freakouts, checking your work. But what about the mental game?
Ah, yes. That's huge EE. A bunch of sources talked about managing stress and anxiety. Before the exam, during the exam. I mean, exams are stressful.
Definitely. You can prepare all you want, but the nerves can still get to you. What do they suggest for those moments when you feel panic setting in?
One source said to try mindfulness stuff, like meditation or just focusing on your breathing. It can really help calm you down.
Yeah. When you're freaking out, just taking a few deep breaths can make a big difference. Any other techniques?
positive self-talk. Instead of thinking, I'm going to fail, tell yourself, I've got this, I've worked hard, I can do this. Sounds corny, but it can really change your mindset.
Love that. It's about choosing to focus on the good stuff, building that confidence, because if you believe in yourself, you can do anything.
Exactly. It's not just about what you know, but having the mental strength to use it when it matters. One source actually shared a story about panicking during a university exam. They used breathing techniques to calm down and ended up doing great.
That's so helpful to hear. Even experts go through it, and it shows you how important it is to have those coping mechanisms. It's okay to feel nervous, but don't let it take over. It's about recognizing when you're feeling overwhelmed and having a plan to deal with it. Now, speaking of self-awareness, another source talked about learning from your mistakes.
Oh, yeah. They said to go back and look at old exams, not just for practice, but to see where you went wrong. Figure out what kind of mistakes you tend to make and how to avoid them next time.
So instead of beating yourself up over mistakes, you use them to get better, turning those oops moments into aha moments.
I love that. Mistakes are part of learning. Every mistake is a chance to grow.
Turning lemons into lemonade. Or like exam blunders into exam brilliance. So we've got time management, reading, handling tough questions, managing stress, learning from mistakes. Anything else in this mountain of advice?
There's more. One source talked about something people don't always think about, but it's so important, asking for help.
Oh, that's a good one. It's easy to feel like you have to do everything yourself, but there's so much support out there. What did they suggest?
They said, don't be afraid to ask. Talk to your teachers, tutors, even your classmates. Use online resources, study guides. There's so much help available if you just look for it.
Like having a whole team of people on your side cheering you on, and they might have different perspectives that can really help.
Exactly. You're not in this alone. There are people who want you to succeed. Sometimes just talking about it with someone can make a big difference.
It's about knowing when to ask for help and realizing that it's not a weakness, it's a strength. It shows you're serious about learning and doing your best.
Absolutely. And remember, everyone learns differently, so find what works for you. Don't be afraid to try new things. What works for one person might not work for another. It's about discovering your own learning style and rhythm.
That's so true. It's like finding your way around a new city. You got to find the routes that work for you, not just follow someone else's map. So we've talked about time management, reading, those tough questions, managing your headspace, getting help, finding your own style. Anything else before we wrap up this part?
One more thing. Launchpad Learning had a really interesting point about connecting what you're learning to the real world, especially for A-levels.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Tell me more.
Well, they were talking about how A-levels often give you situations that aren't straight out of the textbook. They want to see if you can actually use your knowledge in new situations.
That makes sense. It's not just about knowing the stuff, but about understanding it well enough to apply it to like real problems.
Exactly. And one way to get that deeper understanding, they said, is to do some extra reading. Go beyond your textbooks and look at how the stuff you're learning is actually used in different fields.
That's a great idea. It's like taking those ideas out of the classroom and seeing how they work in real life makes it way more interesting too.
Exactly. It can make learning so much more engaging and memorable. When you see the relevance of what you're studying to your own life, it's like a light bulb goes off.
Okay, so we've covered time management, reading skills, tackling those tough questions, managing your mental state, seeking help, and even embracing your own unique learning style. Anything else before we move on to the final part of our deep dive?
There's still more to explore, so let's take a quick break and then come back to finish up our exam success journey.
All right, sounds good to me. Looking forward to uncovering those last few gems of wisdom. Stay tuned, everyone, for the exciting conclusion of our exam success deep dive. We're back for the final part of our exam success deep dive. We've covered so much already, but there are still some great tips to uncover. What else do we have?
You know, we've talked about a lot of specific techniques and strategies, but I think it's helpful to step back and look at the bigger picture. One source, the Launchpad Learning video, made a really good point about connecting your learning to the real world, especially for A-levels.
Yeah, they talked about how A-levels often go beyond just textbook examples. They give you these situations you might not have seen before to see if you can actually UEase what you know.
Right. It's not just about memorizing facts and formulas. It's about showing that you can think for yourself, use that knowledge to analyze new things, solve problems.
Like, it's one thing to know the ingredients for a cake, but can you actually bake it? You need both the knowledge and the skills to use it.
Perfect analogy. And one way to get that deeper understanding, they said, is to read more broadly. Don't just stick to your textbooks. Go explore how these concepts are used in different fields, different areas of life.
That's a great idea. It's like taking those ideas out of the textbook and seeing how they work in the real world. Like, how's physics used in engineering or medicine or even art?
Exactly. It makes it so much more interesting and memorable. When you see how it connects to your own interests, your own life, it just clicks.
It's like that aha moment where you realize physics isn't just equations. It's like the key to understanding how the universe works.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of actively engaging with material, another source talked about note-taking. And not just, you know, mindlessly copying stuff down.
Right. They said effective note-taking is about really processing the information, making it your own, and finding a system that helps you remember it later.
They even suggested things like mind maps, concept maps, even color coding to make it visual.
I've tried mind maps. They're really helpful for seeing how everything connects, like creating a map of the topic.
Exactly. Visuals are so powerful for learning and remembering. They use different parts of your brain, make it more accessible.
And it's not just about making those notes. It's about going back and looking at them again and again, right?
Absolutely. Mm. That repetition helps those connections stick in your brain.
Mm.
Like working out a muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets.
So we've got connecting learning to real life, note-taking, and of course, all that mental game stuff for managing stress and anxiety. Anything else these sources had to offer?
Oh, yeah. One source, the Miss Estrich video, had some great advice for handling those moments when you totally panic during an exam. She even talked about her own experience with panicking during a university exam.
Yeah, I remember that. It was so reassuring to hear that it happens to everyone, even teachers. What did she say helped her?
She said it's really important to have a plan for what to do when that panic hits. Because when your heart's racing and your mind goes blank, it's tough to think straight. Having a go-to strategy, like box breathing or a calming mantra, can make all the difference.
It's like having a toolkit for those emergency moments. When it hits, you know exactly what to do to calm down and get back on track.
And she also said, be kind to yourself. Everyone experiences stress differently. It's not a witness, it's normal.
That's so important. It's easy to compare yourself to others and feel like you're not good enough. But the truth is, everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses, their own way of dealing with things.
Exactly. Focus on your own journey, celebrate your wins, and remember that setbacks are just part of learning.
It's about taking those challenges, learning from them, and using them to keep moving forward. Wow, we have covered so much in this deep dive. Time management, reading, those tricky questions, managing stress, making it real, getting help. But before we wrap up, is there one big takeaway, one thing you really want our listener to remember?
Yes, definitely. Exam success isn't about being perfect. It's not about knowing every single fact or formula. It's about going into those exams with a positive attitude, believing in yourself, and being open to learning and growing along the way.
It's about knowing you've prepared, trusting yourself, and just doing your best on the day.
Exactly. And remember, you're not alone. You've got teachers, tutors, friends, family, a whole bunch of people rooting for you. So talk to them, share your experiences, support each other.
That's a great message. So to our listener out there getting ready for those A levels, you've got this. Believe in yourself, trust your prep, and go into those exams with confidence. We're cheering for you.
And remember, learning doesn't stop after the exams. This is just one step on a much bigger journey. Enjoy the challenge, celebrate your achievements, and never stop being curious. Never stop wanting to learn.
That's a perfect way to end this episode of The Deep Dive. We hope you found it helpful and inspiring.
Happy learning, everyone.